This morning, we're going to talk about faith. And we're going to talk about fear. Because we understand that there's a lot going on in our world right now, right? And there's a lot going on that a lot of times is directly impacts us, and sometimes it doesn't at all. We just have to turn off the news sometimes, amen? Like, I know how to vote. Well, take a teaspoon of poison, but turn the rest of it off, right? But if you engulf yourself in too much of the world and its ways, you're going to get into fear. Because the news serves fear. The news is only, the news is only there to, it's a corporation there to make money. How do they make money? By getting eyeballs on advertisers. How do they do that? By stoking your emotions. Don't let it control you. Amen? So we're going to talk about faith, then we're going to talk about fear. Let's start with faith. So, you know, I've been here for nearly 15 years, and I've heard the teachings on faith for most of my adult life, even beyond before I came here. And so we've taught a lot about faith from this pulpit over the years, and because we are a church of faith, we're a Word of Faith church. And so I'm not going to go too deep on the substance of faith and the evidence and, you know, and all of the basics and the foundation of faith, because I just don't have time this morning. We've got a lot of resources on our website if you do want to check those out on faith. But I do want to kind of lay a little bit of groundwork for what we're going to talk about this morning. And the one thing I want to hit on is faith does not come from us. It's a gift from God. Ephesians 2:8. It doesn't come from you. All right, so you say, well, I just don't have faith. Well, that's okay, but you know, because you don't have to produce it. It's a gift from God. You can receive faith. So God has given each of us the measure of faith. He didn't say a measure. The Bible says that he gave us the measure of faith. Well, when did he give it to us? When we hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so there's a direct linear approach to obtaining faith, and it comes by hearing the word of God. Hearing comes before seeing. So if you think about it, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hearing is how we get and obtain faith. So we have to hear about faith. We have to hear about the Word of God. We have to hear. Our understanding has to be enlightened through the hearing of God's Word. And so when we hear God's Word, then we can see what He is saying in His Word. God Himself demonstrated this in the very beginning. He said, God said, sound, he heard, let there be light. So hearing always precedes seeing when it comes to faith. If seeing is a prerequisite, it's not faith. You don't have to have much faith to know that this is a black keyboard because you can see it, right? So faith is not in the seeing. Faith is in the knowing. Faith begins when we hear God's word, which gives us revelation and understanding. Going again back to Ephesians chapter 1. The eyes of our understanding are enlightened. That word means photizo. So we literally, as we hear God's word, we imagine what we're hearing, and it literally like flashes the images in our mind's eye so that we can actually see in our mind's eye what God's saying in his word. When his word activates that gift of faith within us, it pushes through doubt, sin, and limitations. Faith pulls believers out of hopelessness and into confidence, guaranteeing what God has promised. So if you notice what I said, it pulls who? It pulls believers. Well, a lot of times we say, well, you know, I believe in God, or I believe what God's word says, but I don't have much faith. Well, there's a difference. There's a difference in belief and faith. Belief and faith are not the same thing. Belief hopes something might happen. Even Satan said, I believe and I tremble, right? Isn't that what the Word of God tells us? So even the enemy believes in God and he trembles, but that doesn't mean the enemy has faith in God. I can believe any form of religion that I want. Doesn't make it true. Not saying say doesn't make it factual, say doesn't make it true, because there's only one truth, and that's God's word. I can believe anything I want about myself. I can believe God's promises. But that doesn't mean they're just going to come to pass simply because I believe. You say, well, what's the difference then, Brother Andy? Well, belief is something that comes from you. Remember, faith comes from God. It's a gift. So belief is something that we generate. It's something that we gin up. And that's why a lot of times we hear something, because God gives us the ability to believe. It's part of our human nature, right? God is we're designed with a belief system. And you have to believe because God, and we're not speaking against belief this morning. We're saying there's a difference in believing and having faith, a believing and walking out faith, a difference in believing and in walking the promises of God. I can believe everything that God promises, but if I don't walk them out in faith, I'm not going to see them manifest. God gives us the ability to believe, and we start with belief, but faith shifts us from believing it to receiving it. The focus is not just on faith itself, but on the guarantee that what God spoke is already settled. You say, well, then what's the difference in me believing in God and me having faith in God? Well, belief, again, is mental assent. If you tell me something and I choose to believe what you tell me, then I am believing what you're telling me. I'm taking what you're telling me and I'm accepting it as fact and going throughout the rest of my day acknowledging that as fact or acknowledging that as real, right? Faith is actually saying, okay, here's what God's word says, and my belief has now been empowered because I choose to walk in faith. And now, because my faith is in God, I don't have the burden of believing everything that I see with my five senses. Because I don't have to. Because belief requires you to utilize your five senses. You cannot hear from the Word of God until you without hearing. You have to find a way to expose yourself to this world to respond to it. And it's through our five senses, right? Belief is operating through your five senses. So we are physical beings, but we are spiritual beings. So the word is spiritual. They're spiritual truths. There has to be some way to transcend the spiritual realities of God into our physical world. How is that? It's through the five senses. So we see and experience and hear God's word through our five senses. That's the start. But we can't stay there because that's not faith. Does that make sense? So we got to open the door, and that's what belief is. Belief is opening the door. When you walk through the door, then you have to start making the positive movement towards something beyond your five senses. And that's where faith resides. Because as long as I'm focused on my circumstances, I'm operating in the natural. That's why God says the things that are of the Spirit requires those who have spiritual ears and understanding can understand what the Word of God is saying. We can't comprehend God's spiritual book with physical understanding. So we have to learn to, while we understand that we have these five senses, that we have these circumstances that we're going through, that things are real, we're not debunking reality, we're not setting it aside and just being in la-la land and believing whatever is in our mind, but we understand that we can stand apart from our circumstances and expose ourselves to the word of faith that it's in God's word and focus on that instead. Fear, so let's talk about fear. Fear is one of the most dominant emotions known to humanity. It is the silent thief of destiny, the quiet voice that whispers, "What if?" and holds countless believers hostage from walking in obedience. Fear is powerful because it ultimately disconnects you from faith. So fear is an emotion. You know, we like to use the mnemonic F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real, right? But it is a real emotion to be in fear, not the reverential kind of fear, but scared, afraid, absolutely in total fear. That is an emotion. And where do our emotions reside? In our soul. So we just say, oh, brother, you said we're a spiritual being and a physical being. And there's a third part. There's the soul. Faith and fear cannot coexist peacefully. One will always silence the other. Notice I said peacefully. You say, well, the Bible says fear not. I've heard it said. I don't know if it's true. The Bible says fear not 365 times. So you can pull one scripture per day for every day of the year and fear not, fear not, fear not. I think that's pretty close to accurate. But it's easier just to say fear not than actually fear not, right? Again, who's going through something right now? Is it easy to just fear not simply because the Bible tells us? No, it's not easy. And so a measure of fear is always going to try to permeate our mentality, try to permeate our understanding, our mind. Why? Because we are torn between this physical realm and the spiritual realm. And so fear is going to always try to overtake your faith. So faith and fear cannot coexist peacefully. Either one's going to overtake the other, either fear or faith, or there's going to be a battle of one overtaking the other, where you don't let your flesh just subside or just to take over, and you're actually contending for your place in faith. In the Gospels, the disciples faced this tension during a storm in the Sea of Galilee. The winds howled and the waves crashed, and Jesus woke up. He said, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Have you still no faith? Mark 4:40. Notice he didn't say, you shouldn't have felt fear. He said, why are you still afraid? Why did you let fear override your faith? Fear is an emotion, but if left unchecked, it grows into unbelief. You can hear God's word all that you want, and you can give mental assent, and you can acknowledge that it is correct and it is true sitting in our padded pews in air conditioning buildings. But as soon as the circumstances come your way, as soon as the enemy tries to cross your path and bring some uncomfortable situation to you, then there's going to be a test of what you really believe. And if you let fear come in and you don't underpin that belief with some faith, then that fear is going to grow unchecked, and then your belief is going to turn into unbelief. You're going to start questioning what God's word really says. You say, well, I say I believe this, but I don't see the manifestation of it, so is it even real? And you start walking away from the faith. That's what we call backsliding. And unbelief eventually will lead to disobedience. Jesus was not rebuking their humanity in the boat, i.e. their flesh. He was calling out their spiritual immaturity. So let's talk about the flesh. You know, we're supposed to crucify the flesh, and that word means putting to death the sinful nature that resists the will of God. So when I say flesh, when the scripture says flesh, it's not just talking about what you see. It's talking about your humanity, your human nature, the old man. I think we all get that part, right? It's not just talking about our physical bodies, but our fallen human tendencies, the impulses, desires, and attitudes that oppose the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This crucifixion is both a decisive act and a daily discipline. So you have to decide to crucify your flesh daily. Okay? In the best of your situation, you will still have to contend with your flesh. Yesterday morning, I was sitting at my desk, and I was contemplating on what to preach, and the word already given to me. I was contemplating on the message, and I was just thinking, I just this come up in my mind when I come to this part, and I was preparing, that I've had a time in my life where everything has been perfect. My children were healthy. My job was secure. My money was good. My relationship with my spouse was great. I had enjoyment in my life. I had fulfillment. There was nothing that was really going wrong in my life. Has anybody been there at a time or two in their life? I think we all have to an extent, right? Some of it's perspective. Sometimes we just need to kind of look, wake up and say, we're in America. There's nothing to be complaining about, right? But even on those days, I wake up and every morning, even on those days, the thoughts immediately come. Worry. Regret, strife, contention, anger, fear. It will still come. Even on your best day, it will still come. Why? Because we have to contend with this flesh. And if we don't contend with the flesh, we will default to not walking in God's Spirit. And I contend with, crucified. So it's a decisive and it's a daily discipline. When we came to Christ, our old nature was nailed to the cross positionally. Yet each day we must choose to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him. So positionally, our flesh has been crucified with Christ. What does that mean? That means from our position, my body is no longer driven by my fleshly desires. It has been crucified with Christ. Just like positionally in the Spirit, I'm seated with God in heavenly places. To crucify the flesh is to refuse to let sin, pride, lust, or selfish ambition rule our decisions. Living this out requires surrender, not willpower. You don't have to will it into existence. You say, well, my willpower is not strong enough. It doesn't have to be strong enough. Because if we're dependent upon willpower, that's within our will. That's within our power. But we're not operating under our power. Are we? Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. So lordship is when we surrender our lives to God. And He becomes Lord over us. He is our Lord. We surrender ourselves to Him. As we yield to the Spirit through prayer, the Word, and obedience, the power of the flesh weakens and the character of Christ grows within us. So you say you can feel fear and still choose faith. But faith is not the absence of fear. It's the refusal to let fear have the final word. Let me read that again. You can feel fear and still choose faith. Notice the word I said is choose. Fear and faith cannot reside peacefully. They cannot coexist peacefully. Fear, you say, well, what about when the Bible says fear not? Well, fear is an emotion. Emotion resides in your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. Faith is a spiritual gift. We just talked about that God gives us the gift of faith. It's a gift from God. It's one of the spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12. Faith is a gift. You can walk in faith when you walk in the Spirit. So notice, fear is an emotion, and it will try to default back to the flesh. Fear is in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. I'm talking to your souls this morning because you hear me with your mind. Right? The sound realm. You're experiencing everything with your mind. And that's the continuity between the spiritual realm and the natural. And fear will always drive you back into the flesh. It will always drive you back away from God because it's not from God. God tells us not to have a spirit of fear. It's not from God. Fear is not from God. You say, but I feel fear. Well, that's because you're in the flesh. You're going to feel fear. It's not contradictory. When God says fear not, and you're feeling fear, don't think that you're out of God's will. It's you have to position yourself in faith so that you are separating yourself from the fear. You can choose faith over fear. So let's talk about some examples. Number one, fear paralyzes, but faith mobilizes. Fear's greatest power lies in its ability to immobilize. It freezes you in indecision and delays your obedience and magnifies the obstacles in front of you until you lose sight of God within you. How many of you been facing something that seems insurmountable? And it is scared to even try to tackle and take on, and you just sit there and do nothing. Or even worse, you analyze, what do they call it? Analysis by paralysis. Ruminate. Right? You try to figure it out. You take no action. You do nothing in the natural to fix or address the problem. You just think about it. And those thoughts start to turn negative, start to turn sour, and the problem exacerbates and grows beyond what it actually is. Let me give you an example. Yesterday, y'all would not believe this. Yesterday, as I'm trying to prepare for, no, that's before I prepare for this sermon. My daughter's car starts making a crazy noise. How many know the government shut down? How many know what that means for the military right now? Right? If you know, you know, right? And now this problem comes up that's making a crazy noise. And I'm like, all right, God, what are we going to do? And my daughter even sent me a text. She said, are we taking my vehicle to get it looked at today? And my response was, not today. And she said, why? I said, well, I'll tell you later, because I was busy doing something. So I come back later. I said, you know what? We're going to go ahead and take it. So we took it, and they looked at it, and it was making a squealing noise when she drove down the road. I was like, well, that's brake pads, rotors are bad, calipers. You see where I'm going with this? I'm just all the diagnostics. I'm just everything. The bill is totaling in the thousands. You know what it was? Y'all won't believe me. You have to ask Jim Whaley's in Ozark. A peanut hole was hung between the caliper and the rotor. And was squealing loud when she went down the road. It bothered her. It's like, this is embarrassing, Dad. We got to fix this. A peanut hole. The enemy will use anything he can to get you in fear. I'm trying to figure out how to pay a $2,000 bill that didn't even exist. Fear paralyzes you. If I didn't take action, that thing would still be squealing and I would still be in fear. But because I took action, I stepped out on faith. It's like, I'm not sure how I'm going to pay for this. God took care of it. And the mechanic removed the peanut hole. That's a true story if I'm standing here, I promise you. Faith does the opposite. It mobilizes you. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It moves you forward even when you're trembling. Faith doesn't need certainty to act. It only needs obedience. I wasn't certain of the problem. I was just obedient to what God told me to do. Take the truck to get looked at, Andy. And we took it to get looked at, and the problem was resolved, and it cost me $0. But it's a true life lesson to trust God when he speaks. Amen? When Peter walked on water, his eyes shifted from Jesus to the waves. Fear took over. His gaze and his focus was on Jesus. But as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, he started sinking. Why? Not because the storm got stronger. He took his eyes off faith and took it up and placed on a circumstance. And the moment that happened, he started sinking. And what did Jesus say? He went over and grabbed him, put him up by the hands. He said, you have little faith, Peter. And Peter's sitting there thinking, my gosh, Jesus, I just walked on water. I just did something. I just did the unthinkable. And you're saying I didn't have faith? Why? Because Peter shifted his focus from the spiritual to the natural. And the natural circumstances engulfed him. But the moment that he put his focus and faith in the spiritual, he started defying the things of the natural. The storm didn't take Peter down. His fear did. The same waves that threatened him were the ones that Jesus used to teach him how to walk. Your circumstances are a lesson from God. The Bible didn't say that the weapon wouldn't be formed. Ain't that what Doc says? It won't prosper. When the enemy forms a weapon, use that as an opportunity to exercise your faith, walk out in the Spirit, and show the devil who your God is. Faith acts while fear hesitates. Again, Had I not taken the vehicle to get that peanut hole removed surgically, precisely, I would have allowed the fear to cause me to hesitate. You know, sometimes that fear is not loud like that tire, that wheel. It's whispers, you're not qualified. You're not strong enough. Maybe you should wait. And while you wait, that fear grows stronger. Remember that rumination we were talking about a while ago? The more that you just ruminate on a problem, and don't get me wrong, you have to plan things out. You have to think things through. But eventually, you have to take action. Eventually, you have to take a step forward, because otherwise, you're going to get stuck in analysis by paralysis, and the problem is going to grow either in your mind or actually. And next thing you know, you're going to have a much bigger problem to contend with. Faith, on the other hand, fear delays obedience, and delayed obedience is disobedience. Fear delays obedience, and delayed obedience is disobedience. Faith, on the other hand, acts even when afraid. Faith will move you despite the circumstances. Faith will move you despite your circumstances. I don't know how this will work, but I trust the one who called me. Faith is not about confidence in yourself. It's confidence in God's ability to perform what he promised. The belief is in you. The belief comes from you. The belief is not your faith. Your confidence is not in your abilities. Your confidence is not your belief. Your confidence is not in the flesh. So God's ability to perform what he's promised is through faith. When David and Goliath, we all know the story, met on that plain in northwestern Israel, David actually had 5 smooth stones. David had a plan. You know why he had 5 smooth stones? Because there was 5 giants to kill. The 5 Philistine cities were there was a giant in each one of them ruling, and he had a plan to take out every one of them. And when he faces Goliath, he faced him with such boldness and faith. He said, "You come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." David didn't deny the reality of the giant. He simply refused to let fear define the outcome. He ran toward the battle when the other ones ran away. Y'all know the story. The Israelites were captivated by fear. This giant would walk out, and he would just declare death and destruction over the children of Israel and speak against them and call them every name under the book, and the Israelites would tremble in fear. It paralyzed them. Fear will always make your problems look bigger than your God. Faith flips the perspective and reminds you that God is always bigger than your problems. Faith obeys when fear questions. Faith is obedience. Listen, it's hard. It is hard to walk in faith as long as you are looking at it from the perspective of the natural. But as the moment you make the choice, the decision to crucify your flesh and to look at the promises of God through faith in his word on the spiritual side, then it becomes easy. When I let go of figuring out how to pay that mechanics bill and I said, let's just go, I'm not going to worry about it right now, we're going to see what happens, the next thing you know, it's a peanut hole. It becomes easier the more that you do it. But fear's clever. It didn't always scream, run away. Sometimes it sounds rational. Are you sure that's God? Maybe you should wait until the conditions are better. But waiting for perfect conditions is another way of saying, I don't trust God with the imperfect conditions. Did y'all hear that? Waiting for the perfect conditions to walk and exercise your faith is saying that God can't work in imperfect conditions. I don't trust God to move in a harder situation in my mind than this, what I think is a little more easier for God. You're trying to figure God out. You're trying to help God in that respect. It is not up to us. It is not up to me to figure things out. It's up to me to what? Be obedient. It's up to me to walk in faith. The angel told Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Because Mary had an opportunity to get in fear. You think what she was facing? Think about it. Social rejection, personal shame, the unknown. I mean, she was a single young girl who was pregnant, engaged to be married, and the baby wasn't his. Today, that would cause a little social anxiety. Back in those days, it was outright rejection. It was sin. It still is sin. But it was sin. But do you think that God's hand has stayed because of somebody's perception of what's going on in a situation? Her response was one of the most faith-filled statements. And it said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Despite her circumstances, she said, "God, I still trust you, and I still put this in your hands." Whatever she's about to face. Her son did the same thing. Jesus said, "Let this cup pass from me, Father, but if it's your will..." Not my will, but your will be done. And he went forth anyway, despite the blood coming from his forehead. Faith doesn't eliminate the fear, it overrules it. Mary didn't understand how it would happen, but she trusted the one who promised it would. Fear is an emotion. Faith is a position. Did y'all hear that? We've talked about fear being an emotion all morning. You feel fear. You experience fear. You express fear when you're out of faith. Fear is an emotion. It resides within your carnal nature, and it manifests through the flesh. Faith is a position in the spirit. So when you are sitting here and you're being tugged in two places, the flesh and the spirit, and you don't, and you have to contend which way you're going to walk, know that faith is the position in the spirit that you can choose to operate from. Fear fluctuates with your circumstances. How many of you had a money situation and got fearful, and then God brought the money to you, and then you feel better? I'm going to raise both my hands. That's not active in faith. Total faith is not allowing fear to encamp in your mind and cause that response to begin with. Because faith says, "I know my source. I know my provision. I don't know where it's going to come from, but I know the source, and I'm choosing to reside in my mind over here in the spiritual realm." Because the moment that I continue to consider the things of the natural and all the possibilities that might happen, endless possibilities, endless possibilities. You don't believe me? Get sick and look on ChatGPT and ask what's wrong. It used to be WebMD, right? Go ask ChatGPT what's wrong with you. You'll have a lot of stuff. Ask your friends. You'll get a lot more stuff. Go to the conventional doctor. You get a lot more stuff. Go to a naturopath. You get a lot more stuff. All this information, there's endless possibilities of what might happen in your situation. It is not up for you to figure that out. It is not up for me to worry about what is going to happen next. That's why the Bible tells us to not worry. To cast all your cares upon him. Y'all have heard Doc teach it. You take a net. He was talking to fishermen. Take a net, and the word cast is literally throw it and fling it as far as you can away from yourself so it doesn't catch you up and drag you down when it goes down. You cast those fears, those cares, those worries, those anxieties away from you. Cast them on him. Because he cares for you. Why do we do that? Because we are trying to separate ourselves from the natural so that we can stay in the position of faith in the spiritual, so that we will begin to operate in faith, because God is not moved by your fear. God is not moved by your emotion. He's not moved by your need. He is only moved by your faith. He is only moved by your faith. That's why some people's needs go unmet while others go met. And you say, well, it didn't happen when I thought it was going to happen. Well, maybe it's going to happen down the road. It's not up to me to figure it out. It's up to me to stay in faith. To my dying breath, I am the healed of the Lord. Healing is the children's bread. To my dying breath, there is no need in me because there's no need in my Father. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He makes my leaf to turn over and stay green. There are scriptures of God's promises that I will walk through the rest of my life because I know, not because I believe, but because I know. Faith is not in the believing, faith is in the knowing. When you move from belief, you open the door of belief and walk through it, and you start to see the promises of God, and you start to have a relationship with the Father, you start to begin to see, and your spirit man starts to resonate from the spiritual realm and permeate through your natural man. The eyes of your understanding are enlightened. Now you move from belief. You know. I am fully persuaded. I am fully persuaded that neither life nor death will anything will separate me from the love of God. I am fully persuaded. Faith is the position of full persuasion. Fear is simply an emotion to overcome. The moment that you start walking towards faith, fear starts to vanish. God is my refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. We walk by faith, but not by sight. You don't live by what your eyes see or your emotions feel. You live by what your spirit knows to be true. Faith stands when fear says run. Faith speaks when fear says stay silent. Faith worships when your fear says worry. Faith chooses to remain seated in the truth that Jesus is Lord over every storm. So how do we live by faith over fear? It's not enough to have faith once. We've got to crucify our flesh and we got to live and walk by it daily. It is a muscle. It grows through repetition, not avoidance. The more you exercise and walk in faith, the stronger your ability to overcome the natural is. You don't grow your faith. God gives you the measure of faith. You just walk in that faith that God gives you. You're not growing the faith. You're growing your ability to walk away from the natural and walk in the spiritual. There's growth there. Don't get me wrong. But God said, here's the gift. Andy, take it. Walk in it. Exercise it. Feed it. Faith grows by hearing, Romans 10:17. Starve your fear by cutting off its supply. Negative voices, anxious thoughts, fearful conversations. Instead, saturate your mind with scriptures, with sermons, with worship, with God's word, with testimonies. The more word you consume, the less room fear has to speak to you. The more you grow your mind and your understanding in what faith really is, the less fear has any effect on you whatsoever. Silence the voice of fear. Fear loves attention. It grows when you rehearse worst case scenarios. We just talked about that. What do you do when that happens? You take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When fear says, what if it doesn't work? Answer back, what if it does? My God is faithful. When the enemy's trying to tell you that, that'll never happen. That'll never work. That'll never work. What do? You say it. You say what you see until you see what you say. You have to speak faith out loud. Your mouth is a gate. Your mouth is your voice. Your voice, there is no other voice pattern like yours ever in creation. You are so unique. Your voice is so unique. God designed us in such a unique way that even our voice patterns and frequencies resonate in a way which no other of the billions of humans that have been born or will ever be born does. That's how uniquely special you are. That's how uniquely special your voice is. And the enemy knows that. The enemy doesn't have a voice in the natural. He can't use the natural realm with the spirit, with the sound of voice. So what does he do? He tries to infiltrate other voices. He tries to silence your voice. So speak it out. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Speak faith even when your emotions don't agree. Your confession will shift with your perspective until peace replaces panic. Your confession will shift your panic into peace. You stay in God's presence. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love has cast out fear. The closer you are to God, the less power fear has over you. Worship isn't just about music. It's about proximity. You can worship. We worship with our tithes and offerings. We can worship on the job. Everything that we should do unto the Lord. That is an act of service, of love, and worship. Everything that you do, everything that you put your hand to, every plow that you put your hand to is an act of worship. And we can stay in that atmosphere of worship everywhere we go. We can stay in that attitude of prayer everywhere we go. And that's part of walking in the Spirit. That's actually walking it out. First, you have to start from the position of faith where Romans 8:14 says that those who are the sons of God will live by the Spirit. Those who live by the Spirit of God, they're called the sons of God. That's what Romans 8:14 says. If you want to walk by the Spirit of God and be called a son of God, you have to implement. The first way to do that is to see yourself in heavenly places. See yourself seated with Jesus at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places where no sickness resides, where no lack is found, where relationships are pure, where everything that you need for life and godliness has already been provided in heaven, therefore is provided here. Jesus said when he came, he said that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're here to land kingdom as kingdom believers. We're here to land kingdom in the natural. You do that by walking in the spiritual. When you walk in the spiritual realm, when you walk from the position of faith, when you deny your physical circumstances, your limitations, the things that the enemy's trying to put in your path, the things that are actually in your path, when you deny those realities, to step into a position of faith, you then begin to start to see things manifest. And guess what? If you haven't seen it manifest yet, what does the Bible tell us to do? Go ahead and praise anyway. Thank God anyhow. Why? Because we're fully persuaded that it's going to come to pass. So as I close, faith doesn't make fear disappear. It simply removes its authority. Faith removes the authority of fear. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. Jesus said, all authority in heaven, on earth, and beneath has been given unto him, and I give it to you. Fear has no place unless we allow it to be there. Fear will always whisper, but faith decides who gets the final word. When fear says you can't, faith replies God can. When fear says you'll fail, we are to say God never does. When fear says you're alone, when the enemy will tell you anything. Remember the peanut hole? He will do anything to get you sidetracked. But faith says, God's with me. You can't stop fear from knocking, but you don't have to let it in. The weapon is going to be formed, but we don't have to let it prosper. Faith over fear is not a one-time choice. It's a daily commitment. And when you walk by faith, the storm that once terrified you become the testimony that strengthens others. When you walk out of a situation and you see it through to completion, that is a testimony to encourage you, but to be an example for others. Amen? So when God says to fear not, instead of trying to take it on yourself, to overcome the fear yourself through mental assent or through your own efforts, surrender to God. Surrender to God. I know it sounds cliche. Literally, say, I don't have the responsibility to do any of this anymore, God. And I acknowledge that. It is yours for the taking. I cast my cares upon you. I lay everything at your feet. I come just as I am. God, take this from me. I can't carry it alone. And God gladly does it. And when he does, he adds no sorrow to it. That's why you can stand firm in faith, be joyful, knowing full and that you're fully persuaded that everything that his word says is going to come to pass. And it will come to pass. Amen? Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord. And Lord, we acknowledge your word. We acknowledge the principles of faith in our lives, Father. We acknowledge your presence that continually resides with us. Lord, we pray corporately as we prepare to leave this place, Father, that your spirit would continue to speak to our spirit, Father, that your word would continue to be revealed to us, Father, and that we would open our eyes of our understanding, Lord, that we would walk in faith and not by sight, Father. We would walk in the spirit and not in the natural. And Lord, we pray that this word would be seated in our hearts, would take root, Father, would produce fruit, Lord, so that we can be an asset and a resource to you in the Wiregrass area. Father, we corporately, Father, pray and repent of any time we've allowed fear to enter in and cause us to be distracted, to be distant, Father, to be hesitant, to be disobedient. Lord, we repent right now, Father, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your gift of faith that you've given each one of us, Lord, and we commit right now, Father, to walking this thing out each and every day, Lord. We praise you and honor you and thank you, Father, for all the blessings you've given us. Thank you for the speaking of your word, the ministry of your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen.